Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts. It's
better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
All right. Kamala Harris's economy created a whopping 12,000 jobs last month, off only slightly from the supposed 220,000 created the month before. Just thought I'd throw that out there. That's the jobs report that has now come out 3 days before the day when we'll finalize the election. You would call it election day, but it's been election month. Let's put it that way.
It's funny how many news outlets will sit there and try to say, well, you know, I know it feels like the economy's not that great, but actually, here's 10 reasons why we're better off than we think.
But hurricanes, they're going to have all kinds of excuses for why the jobs numbers are so bad. But the hurricane didn't kill 223,000 jobs or 212,000 jobs, whatever the math is there. It didn't kill that many of them. And that's just the way it is. I hope people are paying attention. I hope the news media actually reports that fairly today. All right. We're focusing on the election because it's a big decisions being made nationally, statewide, and locally in when we tally up the votes next Tuesday night. One of them is going to be for St. Louis County Council. Now, earlier we talked to Sudhir Rathod, who's running in Council District 2. The other big race is going to be in the 6th District, where Ernie Trakas got defeated in the primary by my friend Mike Archer, who's running in that district right now, and I've got him on the phone this morning. Mike, welcome back.
Thank you, Mark. Good morning.
Yeah, you know, there's. I said this to Sudhir earlier, but there's a lot on the line here in St. Louis County. I mean, potentially, if you and Sudhir are both seated on the council, it kind of flips the balance of power there, doesn't it?
Oh, definitely does. And you can look at the MEC reports and see that Sam Page is running scared because he dumped $120,000 into my opponent's PAC through union money.
Ah, yeah. Well, I mean, it's good to know. And we know what Sam Page wants to do to St. Louis County. He wants to waste $300 million on a new Taj Mahal, right?
Well, I call it the Page Palace. And all we need to do is retrofit it. You know, the other thing that I think that does not go unnoticed is that that's the Lawrence K. Roos building, and it's named after a Republican. And I think he wants something with the Dr. Sam Page building. So that's why I call it the Page Palace.
Yeah, lots of budget issues. I mean, Sam Page is even, I think before he even ran for reelection, he hinted at the fact that there might need to be a tax increase in the future in St. Louis County. I mean, we've got to have some common sense people up there on the council that can fight against those things.
Right, and we don't need a tax increase. What we need is the spurring of business. And, you know, you see a lot of that down here in South County where businesses have just been thwarted. And if we had businesses, thriving entrepreneurial businesses, like, you know, like the donut shop next to my house, run by Vietnamese immigrants, you know, that are here legally, you know, it's a situation of where we wouldn't have that budget shortfall because we'd be bringing in a whole lot more revenues. So that's, you know, that's my take on that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I obviously attracting business is one thing. What's your take on what you could do to impact that if you get on the council?
Well, first of all, when I knock doors, the first thing that I hear is safety and security. And the St. Louis County Police Department is projected to have a shortfall of 200 officers. So we need to shore that up in terms of safety and security. Second of all, that donut shop that I mentioned, it took them a year to get through the permitting process. So they had a lot of money going out with no money coming in. So that has to, you know, that has to change, that permitting process. Now, I understand about the health, safety, and welfare of the people, but irrespective of that, you know, the man told me that, you know, one inspector would come in, find things all right, another inspector would come in and write him up and say, you have to do this in terms of a deficiency.
Sure.
That was just thwarting the business process, a bunch of red tape that he didn't need. And to top it all off, after they were up and running, now, mind you, this is the sort of the family is running the business. And grandma is in the back. She just came over and she doesn't speak any English. And she was in the back speaking Vietnamese. And Locke says, what does this mean? And I was reading the letter, and it was from St. Louis County asking him to be committed to diversity in the workplace.
Yeah, that was the focus.
And I'm like, you know, getting his business up and running was not the focus, but that DEI was the focus. So that's what I'm going to change.
We got to get some common sense on there. Mike Archer, candidate there in St. Louis County Council 6th District. Good luck next week, my friend. Good luck on Tuesday night.
Well, I really appreciate it, Mark. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. We'll talk soon. Mike Archer there, running for St. Louis County Council. Just a quick reminder. In fact, a friend of mine texted me just yesterday. He was in line to vote, and the guy next to him had one of the Mark Cox Morning Show voter guides with him.
There you go.
At the polls. So I saw a lot of people with their ballot, their sample ballot that their counties had sent to them when I went to vote there in St. Charles County. In this case, people are downloading and using the voter guide, if for no other reason. I mean, I don't know that we'll disagree generally on most of the candidates that are running, but for the statewide amendments, you need to understand what you're voting on before you walk in there. You need to understand why they're lying to you about Amendment 2 repeatedly, why they're paying sports icons to lie to you about Amendment 2 and claim that $100 million is going to education. That's not the case. There is no guarantee in this bill. They keep saying it's guaranteed. It's a strong constitutional guarantee. Do me a favor. If you bought any of that, go read the ballot language. I printed it for you right there in my voter guide. It says the contribution to the school fund could be zero. It's likely to be zero because they built in, the people that wrote it, the casino industry, every possible loophole they could so that they could subtract all of their losses and never claim a profit. I mean, they got good accountants, let's put it that way. There's a good chance no money ends up going to schools. So they're lying about that. They're lying on Amendment 3. Amendment 3 opens up the state to all sorts of problems. And we'll talk more about it here in a minute with Wes Martin. But Amendment 3 opens up the state to all kinds of problems with losing parental control over transgender surgeries. And your kid could go to school and be called different pronouns and you wouldn't even be told about it. It's a can of worms. And you need to read through these in the voter guide and understand them before you get there. It's about more than abortion on Amendment 3. In fact, I'm a no on all of these amendments and propositions except 7. 7 guarantees only citizens can vote in the state of Missouri. That's the one amendment you need to vote yes on, in my opinion. All right, coming up, we're going to talk maybe a little bit more about Amendment 3 and how churches have been dealing with it. We'll be.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy.
It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Be right back.
You know, Mark, you and I have talked a lot about Amendment 3, abortion, and what that would do here in Missouri if that's passed. And also how frustrating it is how few churches are willing to talk about that issue. Well, one of the churches locally here that is talking about that, thankfully, is Grace Church in Maryland Heights. That's actually my church. And we're joined now by the lead pastor of that church, Wes Martin. Wes, thanks for joining us this morning.
Yeah, it's good to be with you guys. I appreciate you having me on.
You know, one of the arguments I hear from people who say that churches shouldn't be talking about this issue is, oh, you know, separation of church and state. They shouldn't be getting involved in politics. What do you say to those people?
Well, I think a couple of things. Number one, you know, when politics get into the vein of morality, then the church has a responsibility to speak up, because the Bible and Christianity, I would hope that Christians would believe this, we get to speak with an authoritative, you know, stance on the issues of morality. So that's number one. And then number two, there's nowhere in our Constitution that says that the church should stay away from politics. It's reversed. You know, it does speak where the government can't impose, you know, various restrictions and rules into the church's business. But the church has a huge voice to speak into issues of morality specifically, even more than that. And we should have a responsibility to speak into issues even when they're deemed political.
Right. Pastor Mark Cox here. You know, I'm just interested to know, Kim was telling me that your message has kind of been focused on this. I understand that completely. Why would you not want to remind people that they need to go to the ballot box and vote their values and their faith, right?
That's right, 100%. I mean, if Christians really believe that the Bible has wisdom, and that the Bible speaks into issues of, like, for instance, the value of life or the sanctity of marriage or the definition of gender roles, if we really believe that, of course it should be expressed in the ballot box. To think that it wouldn't is just a mystery to me. It's very confusing, very frustrating.
You know what's also frustrating was I saw that Barna research that talked about how 32 million self-identified Christians who regularly attend church are not planning on voting. What do you think it is? Why are Christians not turning out to vote like they should be, in my opinion?
Well, unfortunately, I think the left and, you know, progressive politics through the years, decades, have been very effective in, you know, gaslighting and brainwashing a lot of Christians that the role or that the area of politics is just simply hands off. That is, you know, just you'd hear this phrase, just preach the gospel, just preach the gospel, as if the gospel doesn't affect every single area of life. But we've drank the Kool-Aid. Too many people have drank the Kool-Aid and somehow believe that the message of Christianity is just to stay in this nice little box within the walls, the four walls of our churches.
I love that. And, you know, I mean, I've been concerned because that I think there's been some hesitance on the part of some pastors and you know, across the churches to speak out on this. I had someone reach out to me a while back and wonder if it would hurt the, you know, what is it, the
501c3 status,
C3 designation, if you're in, right, get involved in politics. You know, this is not endorsing a candidate necessarily. This is reminding people of an issue that's on the ballot that speaks directly to the issue of life, and we know where that life comes from.
Right, that's right. Yeah, I think, you know, unfortunately, there have been some in the IRS that have been weaponized to use intimidation tactics to keep churches silent, but it's just intimidation. It won't hold up in the court of law. We have a responsibility within the church to speak specifically on issues of morality, but even more than that. And I would really want to challenge pastors to, you know, this is the time that we need to be bold and courageous and not be intimidated into silence. there are really, really profound and powerful and very influential law firms around the nation that would love to defend the freedom of speech, even within the pulpit.
I talk to people who call themselves Christians, and they'll say, you know, well, I don't agree with an abortion. I personally wouldn't get one, but why should we stop other women from being able to make that decision? How do we have that conversation with those people?
Well, I think, you know, within Christianity, you know, we're speaking of an issue of morality here. And when laws inflict harm on somebody else's life, I would hope that we would speak up. You know, a lot of people use the comparison of slavery, and the same thing happened in the times of slavery. Slavery was legal. And so you would have Christians that didn't have a backbone. They were afraid to speak up of the evils of slavery. Well, because, you know, that's not my place to challenge the law. It's a law on the books. And we would say, listen, it doesn't matter what law is on the books. If it's an issue of morality, in this case, an issue of saving someone from death, I would hope that we would speak up. So, of course, it's not your body, but, of course, in, you know, the pro-life argument is the baby within the womb of the mom. It's not the mom's body either. We are contending for the safety of that baby's body. So I would approach it in a sense of saying, listen, this is contending for the safety and the preservation of life of this human being that's being created in your womb. And let's take it from that angle first.
Yeah, I think it's time for people who sit in church every single Sunday who are not hearing their pastor speaking up about these issues like abortion, like Amendment 3. You might need to consider going somewhere else. I mean, like you said, Wes, the time to be bold and courageous is now. It was actually yesterday, but now is the time if you're not already.
Oh, 100%. And guys, we just got to get in our Bibles. You know, a lot of what's being exposed right now in the church is people don't know the scriptures.
Yep.
So we watch a commercial, you know, on Say Yes for Amendment 3, and we get all swept up into the emotion of it because the poor grandma is afraid of her granddaughter having a miscarriage and not being able to have an abortion. And we just get swept into the emotion of it without having the biblical conviction of the truth of what's on the line.
It's a great point. Pastor Wes Martin, we're out of time, but thank you for your input today.
It's good to be with you guys.
Yes, take care of yourself. We appreciate that. Back in just a minute.
Okay, guys, check this out. First, we have Joe Biden calling all of us garbage. Now, Mark Cuban has come out and said that there's no strong, intelligent women supporting Trump. Wait, hang on. I got to fit in the set.
She's doing pull-ups right now in the background of this video, just so you know.
So she's strong.
Yeah, she's strong. No doubt about it.
Here's the problem with Mark Cuban. He suffers from low testosterone. The guy looks just like Rachel Maddow. And here's his issue. He's actually intimidated by strong, intelligent women like me. Graduated from UGA with a business degree. I run a very successful construction company in Georgia. And now I'm going on my third term in Congress. I love guns, especially AR-15s. And I support President Trump. Mark, I suggest you get some HRT and hit the gym.
Wiggins! Oh! Wiggins!
Yeah, Mark Cuban has been taking a lot of grief for that comment yesterday.
Yeah, he's been backpedaling. We didn't even know about that comment until the middle of the show yesterday, and Fox News started reporting on it.
Yeah.
What a mess. I mean, the only argument that the Kamala Harris team has had is things like defending democracy, which is already undermined by the fact that she didn't get any votes. And then January 6th, and, you know, the most inflammatory things they can find. They're not really making any policy promises at all. They don't have anything, apparently. Otherwise, they'd be really hammering it. And then their own surrogates come out and just undermine the only argument they are making, which is we're the party of women. You know, that's the one policy thing that they are saying is that we're the party of abortion and we love women. And then Mark Cuban's out there defaming half of the women in the country. And then also Joe Biden. I mean, the garbage thing. Yeah. Unbelievable.
Like President Trump behind me who's wearing a garbage bag.
I love
right
it.
Now. You see that?
Yeah.
It's awesome.
I'm sure a lot of people dressed up like that for Halloween. I just think it's funny that they're the party of love and unity and joy. Remember at the DNC how much they wanted to say, joy, joy, Kamala, joy cometh in the morning. Really? Because I'm not feeling the joy as much these days.
Ryan, you said you had some comments on Kim's pastor said.
That was great.
That was great.
I loved hearing him. I loved hearing Mike Archer right before that. Two really good interviews. This poll is from Lifeway. It says that 80% of Protestants want their pastors to preach on hot topics and current issues.
Wow.
80% of Protestants.
I'll be honest, that surprises me because I know that even our pastors get pushback. If they speak out about an issue, they're going to have people saying, you know, you should be quiet. You're getting involved in politics when you shouldn't be.
Well, when people tell people to shut up, usually that means they're over the target.
Now,
that doesn't mean that they're right on it. Doesn't mean they're speaking on the right. You know, they're talking about the things that matter. That doesn't mean they have the right opinions about those things. It just means that they're on target. So I just think, and this is talking about the opening line says, sheep need shepherds. People want to know what to think about the things happening in the world around them. And they're looking to the Bible. They're looking to Jesus. They're looking to the pastors, the people around them, their life groups and things for guidance. This is why we get together to talk about this stuff, not to just miss it.
Yeah.
You know, I think there's this sense in which, even in small groups that I'm in, that you kind of do this like, you know, once we sit down and we start talking, nobody's going to bring up politics. But hey, while we're grabbing some chili, hey, what do you think about blah, blah, blah? Mm-hmm. You know, that's what we do.
Yeah.
And that's okay. I get that. But people crave it. You want to know what other people are thinking about these topics because that's what's on your mind. It's morality.
Right.
And people want to know how to handle these things.
Those are your faith leaders.
Yes.
If they're not leading you in that direction, then they're doing a disservice, in my opinion. You may not like to hear it. But, you know, the same problem. I was amazed a couple of years ago. I remember seeing the statistics on how the vote went in the Catholic Church. And Barack Obama, I think, got a majority of votes of Catholics in this country. And I'm looking at scratching my head thinking, he's for abortion on demand. How can you possibly vote for a politician, whether it's John Kerry or Barack Obama or Hillary Clinton, who supports abortion on demand, and then go to church on Sunday and the roof not cave in on you?
Right.
I don't understand that.
No, I agree. I just think it's so disappointing how many Christians are sitting this election out because they say, well, I don't like what Trump says. I can't vote for him. Come on. I'm so tired of pastors saying that they're not going to speak out about it because, well, for X, Y, and Z reasons. I mean, to Wes's point, I mean, that you have to be bold. It's time for them to speak up about this. Election day, well, really, the election wraps up on Tuesday because we've already been early voting for about 2 weeks now here in Missouri.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so many pastors and Christians are loath to go into these topics because they don't want to become social justice churches. And that is a very real and good concern. You don't want to become a social justice church. The point is still Christ in your church.
Mm-hmm.
If you are flying a flag higher than Christ, you have messed up your priorities.
Agreed.
Yeah. However, you can't just avoid all those topics either. And what we see, you see this more on the left, and I'm saying you never see it on the right, that leftist churches tend to become social justice churches much more than right-leaning churches.
Yep.
But the point is, if you're worried about that, if that's the only reason you're not talking about hot topics in your church, then just don't do that. Like, don't become a social justice church.
Mm-hmm.
Remember your priorities and be bold. But a lot of pastors and leadership are hiding behind the fear of stepping into things that are going to get pushback, that are going to be divisive,
mm-hmm.
and they're just avoiding it entirely. I'm sorry, you just can't do that now.
And I think what's interesting about this, too, is, you know, some conservatives would say, you know, well, I don't go to church, but I'm tired of the Christians who do go to church. They're not, you know, going to the polls and voting against something like Amendment 3. So I think it's interesting because this is a topic, in my opinion, that everybody probably has an opinion on, whether you go to church or not.
Sure. No, I would agree with that. Ryan, before we run out of time here, I wanted to talk about, I brought it up earlier with one of our guests, Ashley Hayek, this situation in Michigan where they found one guy with multiple addresses and what appeared to be multiple votes. I think 17 or 18, if I remember the number correct. And then they found that had been duplicated. First of all, we're happy that it got discovered. Second of all, you told me something this morning I didn't know about it.
Yeah, so that issue, it was hundreds of thousands of votes that looked like they had been fraudulently created by, like, one person would vote 29 times and another person would vote 17 times. That's what it looked like. And so they're like, they said, look, Matthew DiPerno, I think he ran for Attorney General, Secretary of State a couple years ago in Michigan. He didn't win. Jocelyn Benson is up there now, which is, she's doing a great job. If you can hear the sarcasm in my voice.
Yeah.
But that issue in particular, he brought it and immediately, and here's what's great. Here's the great news about this. The RNC, led by now Laura Trump, immediately day of stepped into that issue and found that it was a glitch. It was adding the same voter ID number to multiple people. And I don't know whether they found that all those votes were fraudulently had already been tossed out or that they were real votes. They just had the wrong voter ID on them. But either way, you have a team of litigants now at the RNC that we were talking to Hans von Spakovsky yesterday. You've never had this before. In the history of the RNC, they were just basically a fundraising group. Now, because Trump, because Laura Trump, and a couple of the other, you know, there's priorities, they are able to step into these issues immediately when they find them,
right,
and find whether or not they're legit or not. Some of them, they're still litigating. But that one they found, no, it's okay, that was a glitch.
Good.
Yeah.
That is good.
And by the way, Laura Trump is one of the strong, powerful women. I know it's family, but strong, powerful women that Trump surrounds himself with. To counter what Mark Cuban has said.
You know, to bring it back to the beginning of the segment.
To circle back.
Yeah, that's a great point that you just made, Kim.
Thank you.
She is one of those women. And she really is leading that whole organization in a different direction in a way that needed to happen for a long time. Because before, these things would happen, and you had people just running around like chickens with their heads cut off going, ah, that seems like an issue. Nobody's doing anything, you know?
Right.
And so they have a team of litigants now that are on these things immediately, which is always what needed to happen. Because then you can find out, oh, this wasn't a thing. Great. We all have more confidence then.
Right. Maybe it was Laura's decision to have him pull up in a garbage truck, because that was a fantastic idea.
Somebody came up with a good one on that. That is absolutely for sure. Ryan, remind people where they can listen to Wiggins America, please.
7 to 8 Saturday morning. That's tomorrow morning. And then 7 to 8 Sunday evening.
Absolutely perfect. All right, Ryan, thank you.
Yeah,
appreciate it, brother. Absolutely. Coming up, more on our first responder spotlight and the ATF Alcohol Tobacco Firearms Raffle that kicks off today.
This is your first responder spotlight.
All right, it's the month of November. We are doing our first responder Thanksgiving. We recognize a different first responder group every day. Today, we'd like to thank the folks down at the St. Louis Metropolitan Police Academy, where they are working hard to try to refill the ranks. They got a lot of spots to fill down there. They're actively hiring, so if you know somebody that's looking to get into police work, they would love to talk to you. Thanks for what you do every day at the St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department, and certainly the academy trainers down there as well. We appreciate that. You can visit 971talk.com to find out more about our first responder Thanksgiving and to find out more about the raffle, because that kicks off today. And for Responder Rescue, number one, let me tell you about them. ResponderRescue.org, great organization. Of course, they help first responders who are injured in the line of duty. Backstoppers does something else. They help people that are generally killed in the line of duty, and they help their families. First responder, Responder Rescue is there for people that have been injured, but, you know, have to take a few months off, and maybe if they get behind in a bill or something like that, they step in and they help them out. And I love what they do. So we're helping them out this month. We have raised in the last 3 years $80,000 through this raffle here for Responder Rescue.
Yeah, that's incredible.
So we're one to add to that this year. And here's what you get in return for your donation. The tickets are only $1 a piece. All they're asking is a minimum of 10 tickets purchased. So it's a $10 purchase for you to get 10 raffle tickets in this raffle. You have a chance to win a basket of bourbon that I'm putting together for you. It's going to include a lot of great stuff. Weller Antique 107, a lot of cask strength Old Dominic, single barrels of Old Elk and Four Roses. Lots of really good stuff is going to be in there. Stolach Whiskeys, they're donating a couple of bottles for us. It's going to be over $1,500 worth of bourbon that you could win. Or maybe you could win that CMMG Descent MK-47. It's a 9mm rifle. It's beautiful. There's a picture of it online with the folding stock. It's being donated by the Range St. Louis West in Baldwin. We appreciate them. That value is estimated over $2,100. And again, for the tobacco portion of this, my friends at Lit Cigar, Brian Schneider, such a great guy. They've got a private room down there. He's going to donate that an evening in that private room, a bottle of his barrel pick bourbon for the room, cigars for the evening, and then on top of that, a box of these Opus X cigars, which are really hard to get. And this is over $1,000 value in and of itself. So we're going to have three winners. We're going to choose them randomly the day before Thanksgiving, so November 27th, out at the range at like 12:30. Get on there. Here's the deal. You can text the word responder to 33100 on your phone or tablet. There's a QR code I posted on the Facebook page. Just scan it with your phone. It'll take you right to the page where you can buy tickets. It's really easy. You can also go to there's a link on my Facebook page and on our main page there at 971talk.com. You can just link to it. But thank you for buying tickets and helping us get off to a great start for helping a responder rescue. They help us. This is our chance to give back in the month of November to help our first responders.
And they do so much, and I feel like it's one of those thankless jobs. I mean, I know some people obviously understand the sacrifice that they're making every single day, but we've seen the hate that's been spewed at a lot of these, you know, law enforcement officials, and they're putting their lives on the line for us.
They are. This is your chance to kind of give back a little bit. So thanks to all of you and all that you do, for sure. We do appreciate that. I will point out, again, the voter guide, for those of you who haven't seen it, and we talked a lot earlier about Amendment 3. We've talked a little bit about Amendment 2 today. One thing that I haven't talked about as much the last few days is this Proposition A. I see, again, these slickly produced commercials on here. It's going to give you a $15 minimum wage. That means the people in the lowest skilled jobs are going to get at least $15 an hour. Now, who are they, right? Are the people flipping your hamburgers? Pretty soon your Happy Meal is going to be $27.50, just so you know. And here's the other trick to this. Even if you think those folks deserve $15 an hour, a minimum, instead of some wage based on their skill level, which is minimum, you need to understand that the way this thing is worded, it gives a cost of living increase in the wages every year to the minimum wage. So it'll be $15 by next year if this passes, and before long it'll be $25, because every year it's going to go up. Think of what that's going to do to the economy. Think of what it's going to do to small businesses. They're all going to have to raise their prices because the market doesn't support those kinds of wages. This is the problem with setting a false wage floor.
It's not only that, though. Doesn't it also require a lot of these smaller businesses to pay a certain number of sick days for their staff?
Yeah. No. Yeah. 1 hour of paid sick leave for every 30 hours worked.
There you go.
So that's time off that they've got to cover. It's a horrible idea to go at it this way instead of just more gradually raising that, if indeed that's what the legislature decides to do. This is an end run by the activist groups that are sending millions of dollars in here from out of state to try to pass this minimum wage proposal. I'm a solid no on Prop A. That is the statewide Prop A. St. Louis County has some propositions, too, which I happen to be a yes on. So don't be confused. Download the voter guide, study it, and then you'll know, right? And then get out there and vote. We talked about it earlier. They're going to have a hearing here in just a few minutes in St. Charles County on whether or not they should allow watchers to be in the polling place. Well, duh, of course they should. It's stupid that they didn't have them to begin with. But they're going to have to go to court to force the elections director out there to allow watchers in the poll places. But they're open for business. Go get in line. Vote today, tomorrow, Monday, certainly by Tuesday. Make sure your vote counts. It's never been more critical. Brian Kilmeade coming up next with the latest on the national races. And, of course, Annie and Mark are going to be in this afternoon with more. They'll have a follow-up on the St. Charles court decision, I'm sure. We'll see you back here Monday morning at 5 a.m. Have a great weekend.
Get more at 971talk.com. It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.